This is FYI Brownsville, a weekly podcast of the Brownsville Herald. I'm Ryan Henry, the editor.
And I'm Mark Reagan, a reporter, and we're here down in the elections office at 1050 East Madison Street with Remy Garza, the elections administrator.
And welcome to your Cameron County Elections and Voter Registration Office.
Yeah, we gave the complete address, which is a little weird, but it's important because the Elections Administration Office has moved recently.
Yeah, we used to be at the Judicial Complex where the courthouse is. But we located here about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that move was, it's a nice office. When you come in, it's very inviting. Everyone has a good space and such, and it was a move that sort of began with your predecessor, right?
Yeah, actually, I owe Chris Davis a lot of the credit for what we have here now. He was responsible for the layout. I got to buy the furniture and actually utilize it.
Yeah, and you've been on the job as election administrator since when?
I actually got appointed in July of 2015. I had started under contract in March to handle the May elections as Chris transitioned out.
And how'd that go?
I think pretty successfully, I think. Considering that they appointed me in July, I think I did okay.
Well, we have an election upon us that's coming up. What is it, March 5th primary?
Is it March 6th, right?
6th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, March. Sorry, guys, don't go to the polls on the 5th. On the March 6th primary, and it's a big election, statewide primaries. And down here, primaries are very important. Why is that?
Well, the primaries are the time when each party picks its candidates for the November ballot. And in some cases, we have pretty dominant parties, especially here in South Texas. So actually, the primaries can be the election that actually chooses who the person is going to take the office. Sometimes there's contested races from both sides, but sometimes there isn't. So I think it's important, especially people in South Texas who want to participate in actually selecting who their elected representative is going to be, that they participate in a primary.
Yeah, and I think what Remy's talking about is. It's a heavily Democrat area. And when you look at the ballot, I mean, you just see far more Democrats on the ballot, and a lot of times they're running unopposed. So just to clarify a little bit about the parties and what he meant about how a primary can determine who is going to be an office holder.
Right, and that's strictly the choice of the candidates and the community.
Right.
Yeah. Now, as an elections administrator, you have a big role, a big responsibility, but what is your job and what is that responsibility?
Well, we have two primary functions. The first is that we maintain the list of registered voters for the county, meaning that anybody who is eligible, who's 18, a U.S. citizen, and resides in Cameron County, is eligible to vote and participate. And so my job is to make sure that list is current and that as many people as who are eligible are on that list. I don't see that as a passive role. I try to be much more out front about it, because if they're in the community and they're eligible, they should be registered so they can present themselves at the polls if they want to participate.
I was joking earlier when we weren't recording that you must have a great job, that you're only working during elections and the rest of the year you what?
No, I wish it were that easy, only in the sense that not only do we have the registration responsibilities, but elections don't just happen. People, get the impression that at 7 a.m. suddenly there's four people who show up with a common purpose of processing voters, when actually it's at least a 4 to 5 month period before the election, getting prepared for it, that gets us there. Luckily the election dates are fixed so we can plan and process it. And I've compared it to, essentially, I have 100 locations have to open simultaneously in Cameron County with about 500 people working those locations, and then to close simultaneously and then have all that information brought to us to Brownsville for one location. The people who have been doing this for years, the people who were in the office before I got here, they know what they're doing. And the people who've worked at the polls, they know what they're doing. We have a lot of people who come back that are interested in serving and enjoy it and like being a part of the process. And they're really the ones that do it. I mean, really, we just do our best to plan it. But like a coach, once the players are on the field, it's between the voters and the poll workers. And we just sort of make sure we put out any fires.
And I think maybe it's something that people might not always realize is that these poll workers are civic-minded people, but they're from the community, so it's the community holding its own election. I mean, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been doing some student trainings because we have student clerks that actually participate now, and one of the things that I mentioned is that we're a representative democracy, and how we elect those representatives are a function of how well we're going to be represented. And these are the people who actually process the ballots. They qualify the voters. They protect the ballots, and they actually accept the ballots from the voters and process them there at the polling locations. Yeah. And then we just get the results back in our area.
Give us a sort of like a snapshot of voter participation in Cameron County. What's the registration, and where do we stand on actually election day?
Well, for each election, you have to register 30 days in advance. We just passed the 200,000 mark with registered voters in Cameron County. It's estimated that we have anywhere from 240 to 260 people who are eligible to actually register.
And that would be 18 years or older, U.S. citizen.
And reside and yeah. haven't committed a felony and haven't been determined by a court to be mentally incapacitated or partially incapacitated right. without the right to vote.
That deadline has passed. It was Monday.
That was for Monday to participate in the March primary. But we have our May elections, May 5th, that are coming up that people can still register and be able to participate in that and or to update their information.
Okay, so the out of that 200, what was it, 200?
I think it's about 240,000 is what I have as a pool of
eligible. And the number that are actually on the books registered today is
200,247.
Is that higher than normal, higher than in the past?
Yeah, for Cameron County, our registration has sort of hovered around the 179 to 184 mark. And so, and then it'll always increase during a presidential year because people get a lot more interested. People, you know, who have moved but haven't been concerned about voting suddenly become interested in it.
Is this number mainly increased because of the last year's presidential election, the one in 2016?
It had an impact. That took us up to the 190,000 mark.
There's still interest in voters. It's still growing.
We're out there, doing everything we can. We do high school registration drives. We have the League of Women Voters and other organizations that come in and do drives in front of your Walmart, your HEBs, your malls. We've been working very hard to remind people the importance of voting and get it out there.
I guess I want to just really, really hit to the point. Is voter apathy is the traditional view is that there's voter apathy, that it's this thing that we got to get past, and is that happening? Is that still accurate?
Well, I can say two things of that 2016 election. One is that we had over 90,000 people vote, which is the highest number of individuals who voted in any election in Cameron County.
Wow.
Two, we had our highest percentage-wise of 47, almost 48% of the overall who were eligible to vote voted, and usually we sit at the 45. So there's been a slight increase in each of the elections, you know, because presidential is a high turnout, and then your gubernatorial 2 years later is kind of a little lower. But they've all been kind of increasing.
So. To me, that's amazing because I can remember us talking—not you and me, but us in this community talking in the past elections of like single digit turnouts.
Well, city elections historically have much lower turnout where, you know, we saw like 5% or 8% that were turning out for some of those elections. And while we're involved in those elections because sometimes cities contract with us to do it, it's really a function of the community and who's on the ballot. We went through this constitutional election, and I've done everything with the support of the Commissioner's Court and the Elections Commission to get consistency in the number of polling locations and our early voting locations, kind of fixing the hours so that there's that consistency where the voter knows if I go to the Brownsville Public Library between 9 and 6 during early voting, I'll be able to cast my ballot. And that didn't have a huge impact with respect to an increase in the turnout. I really think it's candidates drive voter turnout, that if you have somebody on the ballot that's just, you know, engaging and gets people either in favor or against, whatever it's going to be, that's what's going to drive people to the polls.
And there's really no dispute, saying the political climate is in a strange place right now, and there is some trickle down from national politics to that local level, and people maybe rollover of civic engagement I think happening, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, if student clerk participation is any indication of what future generations will be like at the polls, we're seeing a significant increase of the kids 16 to 18 wanting to be a part of the system, being interested in it.
Where are the majority of votes being casted today? Is it in the early voting or is it still on election day?
In 2016, we had the variation of where we actually had our the major number show up during early voting. It was like almost 50-60% showed up during early voting.
So that's a shift as well.
Yeah, normally it's the 45% of our turnout is on early voting, and the other part would be election day.
What does that do for an election, from your perspective of managing it and making sure that the safeguards are in place and that it's a smoothly accounted for election?
Well, you know, making sure that we have enough clerks to process the individuals during early voting so that we can reduce lines and things of that nature. You know, we have the ID system in Texas where either people have to show a photo ID or one of the other forms of ID if they're unable to obtain it. And so we have that identification process at the polling location. You know, then we have our system is interconnected so that as soon as somebody checks in, at every other location it has them checking in as well. And so somebody can't move from polling site to polling site and cast multiple ballots on the same day because there's not that connection. You know, there's any number of other ways that we protect the vote with respect to once the ballots are cast. But to me, the single best way to prevent voter fraud is to vote. If you go vote for yourself or you go vote with your parents and your loved ones, you're actually gonna prevent somebody from ever using your name as a false vote.
And okay, technology has changed. Our election system was designed at a time when computers weren't around. You'd have to go to your polling place and you'd have to know specifically where it is and be on a ledger. Why are we still doing that? If early voting is such a great system in which you can link up computers and you can vote anywhere, why can't you just vote anywhere on election day?
Well, there's a couple of hurdles that we have to jump. One is making sure that the appropriate ballots are in place. Right now, Cameron County still uses paper ballots. The state had required that you went to a touchscreen voting, which when it was initially introduced, there was a lot of resistance in the community to going to electronic voting, that they wanted to keep the paper ballot. And I think for our size in our community, it's still valid. Now, we're working on trying to find a way to get a hybrid system where we could still use the paper ballot, where when you voted, you could still review it to make sure that the people who you wanted to vote for were on there, and then use that to cast it. And if we can find a way to have the ballots, which is called on-demand ballots, at the polling locations, we could move to where you have that early voting type of system, which is called vote centers. I think it's just one of those things that we're working towards. But right now, we still have we're still relying on the old structures.
Because how many calls do y'all get? How many inquiries do you get on election day? Where's my precinct? Where do I vote? I'm confused.
Yeah, you know, our phones are ring pretty frequently, but not as much as they used to. I think we're doing a better job of getting that information, and having the presence on the web allows people to access it a little easier.
Yeah, you can look it up online.
Yeah, it's a little easier. So I mean, our phones are busy, but it's not as busy, and we're able to handle them a lot quicker.
And we always hear the election was won by so and so, but the election results are not official until canvassed and there's challenge. What do you do in that period between the polls closed? You sort of have your initial tally, it looks good.
Well,
I mean, how often does it change? What's this canvassing?
Well, the purpose of the canvassing is, one, is that there's still votes out there that need to be processed. There's overseas ballots that have additional time in order for people who are in the military or people who are outside the United States to get their ballot to us. They still have to mail it before election day, but it gives it a little bit of time to go through the mail system. Also, we have people who, if they don't have their photo ID, they have 6 days to cure that, and so we're also letting that time pass. But also what we do is we actually start looking at, okay, how many ballots were cast? How many ballots were given to a polling location? Did they turn back in the number of ballots? Are they all accounted for? How many signatures do we have in the combination form to make sure that that matches the number of ballots that were cast? How much did the computer say we were checking in people? And then when there's slight discrepancies, we try to track it down to find out, okay, what happened? Did somebody, you know, check in twice? Did in the sense that they checked in for their son or something, just to see who's what and making sure that everything balances out so that when we're ready to say these are the official results, then they are.
Is there any part of the discussion that gets out there that just seems to discourage people from voting? I grew up message after message, your vote matters, and different campaigns over the years, but I didn't grow up in a time in which we were talking about voter fraud and the fear of voter fraud. Is the discussion about voter fraud discouraging people from going? Is there anything like that?
I haven't heard, from my perspective, somebody calling in and telling me that the reason they don't participate is because of the voter fraud. What I hear more often is that what difference does it make, because the things they say they're going to do, they don't do. And I try to remind people that, you know, governments are slow-moving creatures, that projects are planned over a period of years, that there really isn't a situation where somebody who's elected is going to be able to immediately affect the change they're talking about.
You're right. You do hear that. It's like they're all the same.
Yeah, and then
it doesn't matter who's in office.
Yeah, and I think people don't realize that the road that's about to get paved, that process started 3 or 4 years ago before that individual got elected. So, I mean, they didn't really have a role in how that project got started. They could stop things, I would imagine, but not a whole lot of people hop in to slow things down, progress down. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's the, you know, we live in that instant coffee society of where, you know, microwaves, it should happen right away. And if you get that disconnect of time, not realizing that, okay, I'm going to vote for this person, and then it's going to take them a while to make the change they're talking about.
All right, so you're the elections administrator, and you're going to set something into action now that'll make this department in Cameron County better in X number of years, and what is it? What are you doing now?
Well, there's two things that we're trying to do. We're trying to get a mapping system so we can identify what areas of Cameron County don't have registered voters in them so that we can start targeting our drives. We're also in the process of transitioning from the straight paper ballot to possibly doing the hybrid system so we can go to vote centers so that people can go to any polling location. That's a 5 or 6 year project with the sense we just replaced our DS200s. We upgraded our M100s, which allows us to take the next step of using replacing our AutoMarks to go for a sort of a touch screen experience, and then if people are comfortable with that, maybe we'll expand that presence in the polling places and then be able to go full touch screen. I'm more concerned about the lines and the delays, because when you use a paper ballot, you know, you can set up a new table and have, you know, set up a little blinder type thing so people can vote. You can expand really quickly. But when you have a touch screen, you're limited. I mean,
why do I have to turn my phone off when I go vote?
I think there's
I mean, you could show up and you're like, I want to see who's on the ballot. I'm standing in line and people are telling you, turn off your phone.
Well, I think there's probably two reasons for that. One is that, you know, the voting experience should be private, and people should have the freedom to cast their ballots into at a quiet and safe location and shouldn't feel intimidated by anybody. And two is that the information that's happening at the polling place, you don't want to get that information to be released. It's a crime to tell people how somebody voted. It's a crime to tell people who voted before the end of the election night. You know, it's a crime to tell who hasn't voted, you know, in the sense that you could really influence what's going to happen to the outcome of the election if you start releasing that information during the day. So it's kind of a couple of things that are happening with respect to phones and any recording devices. But even when a poll watcher's there and they're taking notes, the judge can require them to keep a piece of paper, the paper behind, if they're going to leave for a little while, because that information has to be protected.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your time, and we'll probably be happy to talk to you again at some point.
Well, anytime. I mean, I believe in fair and open elections and free, and as long as people understand the system, I think they'll have a greater confidence in it.
Yeah, and for the record, Remy is one of the more accessible public officials here, so thank you.
Thank you, Remy.
Oh, no, thank you, guys.